Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Wrestling TFS podcast, reviewing the 2024 Players, the Players of the Championship. Depending on where you read, it's technically the used to be called the first unofficial major, but not so much anymore. Should be a fun one, though, down there in Florida. So we'll get to that and more. I'm on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press TFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Guts. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Monday. How'd you play this weekend? I forgot to ask you that off the air.
Golf?
How'd you play?
I didn't play.
Oh, I thought you went to go play in that deal. I'm an idiot. Okay.
No, I went to a basketball tournament. I played indoor golf on Saturday, but that's not.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Nearly the same as, and then it was, yeah. So, yeah.
I forgot it's conference tournament time. I'm an idiot. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Yep.
Yeah.
I digress. So, did you get to see the Kareem, whatever they call him, from Indiana State, or is he not there?
It's a different conference. I went to the Ohio Valley Conference.
For some reason, I thought you even said MVS, not OVS. I'm saying no. Monday, folks. Monday. Yeah, I'm an idiot. You also said Indiana. I'm like, maybe he's up there at Indiana State doing his thing. It's how much I pay attention to college basketball these days.
They play in St. Louis. Ohio Valley, so Missouri Valley's in St. Louis, the Ohio Valley's in Evansville, and Morehead State won, which is my school. So
there you go. So that's good. Yep. What are you thinking the seating's going to be for them in the tournament? Like roughly,
they're probably going to get, probably between a 14 and a 15. Most likely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to go check them out, or is it not even worth the trip?
It depends on where it's at. I mean, if it's decently close, potentially, but yeah, I mean, that is. An expensive weekend I just came off of, and then
that's the thing, man. Like, when we were younger, like 10 years ago, traveling to sporting events didn't cost a lot, all that money, but now just the hotel alone are costing a fortune. Because I'm also at the point where I tell my friends I'm old enough, I'm not sharing a room with you guys. Like, I'm at that phase. To each their own, some people still do, but I'm just like, I don't party like I know you don't party anymore, so I couldn't imagine trying to share a room if I was you.
it was just me and my dad, but.
Yeah, well, that's different. Okay.
But I'm not a good sleeper, so anyways, it's not a great situation. But yeah, then you got to pay for the food, and I mean, food. I mean, I was just noticing. This is not a PGA take or a golf take, but how expensive it is just in a gas station, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've told many people that listen to any of my shows. I work out of my truck, working farming, so I stop in at gas stations a lot to get a snack here or there if I don't pack my lunch or whatever, and. I've noticed it. I've been doing this job for 17 years, and how things like the same like bag of chips and maybe even a water or anything, it just threw the roof compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's crazy. Nuts. So yeah, I pack my lunch more and more these days if I can. But all right, people are here for golf. We'll get
good segue. Here. Scottie Scheffler won $4 million.
That's kind of what happened. Scotty wants $4 million because, as you know, you probably heard the GIF memes. Look who learned how to putt. Scotty learned how to putt, and it was filthy. Like, he went 17 straight putts within 15 feet to finish out the tournament the last 2 days, making them. If Scotty's making 15 footers, just put your clubs away, put them back in the trunk, go home. Like, so what are your thoughts, I guess? Because, like, Willie Z looked great. He kind of fell apart over the weekend, but he's getting really close. Lowry's playing good in Florida. Wyndham Clark keeps playing good in elevated events, even though he swears the tour should only be 100 golfers, which would have screwed him about 10 years, like 2 or 3 years ago. So you might want to like keep your trap shut, is what I think. But that's another conversation.
Yeah, you know, Scotty would like you said, when he's putting, it's very, very difficult to beat him. Nobody did. Obviously, wins the tournament by 5 shots, and it wasn't particularly close, but. And we talked about needing star power up there, and we had it. We just didn't have the close finish that we really needed to kind of boost the ratings and the eyeballs on the tour. But at any rate, I mean, Wyndham Clark apparently, I guess, is going to show up only for these big events. And then that take of it should be 100 golfers is one of the worst takes in the history of man. You had Max had a decent showing. And I don't know what's wrong with Rory.
I was reading somewhere actually today on one of my little breaks. The dude's been driving it great. One of the best drivers on tour. Literally one of the worst approach players on tour right now. He was almost dead last this past week. He's been like anywhere from 50th to like 80th in every field he's been in approach play. And that's not going to cut it with these big boys. So that's been his killer is just, I remember last night I got home, I was getting ready to watch the replay where they're showing something and Rory's like, there's a ditch separating two fairways with like a little creek ditch. And he's like leaning against the sidewall trying to hit a shot. I'm like, what's Rory doing over there? Like that's where things are for Rory McIlroy.
Right yeah. Now. So. Yeah. It's pretty bad. He was second off the tee and 55th.
Yeah. There you go.
On approach. And the putter's not really, it's good enough if he can just hit a wedge, but I think that's the biggest problem.
It's like, I'll be off of him this week. I'll, you know, peek ahead behind the curtains, but one of these weeks he's going to click and I'm going to have the egg on my face, but he looks extremely lost right now. And I'm just going to, it's one of those where it feels like he needs like a couple weeks off to go work on things and he ain't got that right now. So we'll see. Time will tell on that. But it was funny. I don't know if you got to hear the clips from on Friday, Smiley Coffin had Spieth come sit with him for a bit. And then he had Homa sit with him. Both of them were really good interviews. Spieth was good just because they're buddies and they go way back. And they're right on the fairway. So like golfers would walk by and they kind of like chirp at each other. And then Homa was there. It was great because Rick and Scheffler hits a shot and it's just beautiful. And Max basically goes, well, it's because the putter's not in his hand. And just makes a joke because everyone knows it's coming and he figured it out.
Yeah.
And then he saw Lowry after, I think it was Saturday's round when the putter really started to click and he was playing with Scheffler. He goes and talks to Scheffler's wife and mom and dad and basically says, she's like, basically, like, it's not fair. No one's going to beat him if he's doing that. It's like he's ridiculous. And a lot of golfers are feeling that right now.
Yeah, it's very true.
All right. Other than that, Abe Anser wins on LIV. AK shot a 65 in his third round. We'll see where that goes. He's actually playing on the Asian tour this week. So that'll be fun.
He beat four people.
I don't know what the final round totals were on Sunday, but when he finished his round, it would have been pretty close because the shotgun, he was tied for the lowest round of the day.
He did have the lowest round, but I'm just saying overall, he
I know what you're saying.
Beat four people for the tournament.
Yeah, that's an improvement. We're looking for improvements right now. Yeah. Like we joked off air, I'm like, how is AK, who was already rumored to be signing with LIV for well over a month, how is he not playing with personal clubs? Like he's got stocked clubs. Like he went to Dick's Sporting Goods and bought them off the shelf. They're hoping to have you fitted clubs in the next by the time they play in the U.S. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, I think he's waiting on an equipment deal is what I read. But
now that would make sense. That would make sense. Pay me basically.
Right, right. But how are you not out there practicing more too? I guess like for the last 10 years, he's not been playing golf. That's only
thing. And there were some other interviews he was saying, he didn't know how to drop from his knees now instead of the shoulders. There was a list of things that they've like the first 2 weeks have shown us that he has been that checked out. Just like he was doing whatever we thought before, the bad things in life, but then he found his wife and had a kid and he's apparently clean now and all those things. But for that 10-year span, for the darkness and the light, he basically checked out, which is pretty wild to think when you're one of the best in the world at anything, not just golf, just anything to just say, screw it, I'm done. Like, I'm just done.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild stuff. And then just real quickly, no one really cares probably, but we'll mention anyways. Down in Puerto Rico, Bryce Garnett won in a playoff, so he's exempt. That'll be a fun one to talk about once in a while. But no one really cares. That field was kind of so we move on. I know Teats made the week, and I didn't see how he finished for your boy, but
it wasn't great.
Okay, but... I saw him tweet out basically. I think on Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, like let's get birdies and like a Moorhead win or something like that. He was tweeting out something.
Got one of the two.
Yeah, you got one of the probably the one he cared about more, honestly, at this point in his life.
Should be.
Because he's flagging the way that I've seen, you know, way more than me. That seems like that school fully embraces him with things he does. So there might be an opening there for him to do some stuff at some point in time. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, let's talk players. The Players Championship, quote unquote, the best field in golf, which should probably be taken down from the slogan, all things considered. And, what do you got for past event history here? Because we've played this place a lot of times.
Yeah. Scottie Scheffler last year, 17 under, 5 shots over Hatton. Cam Smith was the 2022 winner, 13 under, 1 shot over Anibal Lahiri. JT won in 2021, 14 under one shot over Lee Westwood. 2020 was canceled because it was – this was right before everything shut down 4 years ago. It's crazy. But Hideki Matsuyama shot an opening round like 70s or 64, something like that, was leading. 2019 was Rory, 16 under one shot over Jim Furyk. Webb Simpson was the 2018 champion, 18 under one shot or four shots over Xander, Charles Schwartzel, and Jimmy Walker. Siwoo Kim, past champion. Jason Day, past champion. Ricky Fowler, past champion. Tiger Woods has won this twice.
He's good. He's good at golf. Not playing this week, though. Many thought he would. Decided not to. I'm kind of glad. I don't want him back to try and hurt again. Like, I'm over that point. Let's just remember the good Tiger until he can figure it out again.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I see Steven's question in the chat. We'll get to that when we get to EVR later on, because I think we both have probably thoughts on him. Though the last thing I wanted to mention to you, I screenshotted it because one of my best lineups over the weekend, I used Siwoo and EVR in the same lineup because we were joking around that, you know, they're both $6,600, blah, blah, blah. Well, Lee came in at 28.
Minwoo,
yeah, and okay. EVR. They're both 66. Mm-hmm. And Minwoo came in at 28.5%, EVR at 14.8% in my tournament. They both are EVR at 65 and Lee had 59.
So. Yeah, I played them both as well in one lineup. I had one lineup, and it actually was a really good lineup.
Yeah, it got me Scotty, Willie Z, Aubert, he just shit the bed this week, and I can't remember who the other one was. Oh, Hoagie, I think. So, yeah,
we're talking. Do we have the same lineup?
Probably pretty close.
let me look. I finished second in Junkies. It was. Oh, I had Grillo.
Yeah, Grillo was money, dude. I have had note on him for later on this show.
Yeah, but, I had Scheffler, Aberg, Zalatoris, Grillo, EVR, and Lee.
And now you got me curious. I got to pull it up here just for fun because it was it finished 69th in the $6 tournament. And now DraftKings doesn't want to work. So
I got it. It's
Scheffler. Yeah, Scheffler, Aberg, Zalatoris, Hoagie, EVR, and Minwoo for 467.5.
Gotcha. Yep.
I do five lineups a week, so probably wasn't the one in Junkies.
It wasn't. Yeah.
I'm still third in there, so let's roll. See how that goes. But okay, let's talk course. I think we all know this course. Like you mentioned, so many rounds of golf have been played here. This is TPC Sawgrass, the stadium course, Pete Dye course. We've talked about Pete Dye a million times, for those that don't know. One of the greatest architects, or depends on who you talk to, one of the greatest architects in golf. I like his courses because it brings kind of all golfers into play based on dog legs, based on false fronts, based on just illusions of the eye. He like mind screws you, by the way, like elevated greens, tee boxes, whatever. He uses every landscape of the area to make the course seem more difficult than it is sometimes. Now, TPC Sawgrass, very difficult. There's water everywhere. That's the easiest way to put it. It's just there's water hazards on all 18 holes. That's fun. It's a par 72, a little less than 7,300 yards. So not super long for a 72, but again, tons of dog legs. So you can hit driver. It's fine. But man, being in the fairway is so unbelievably crucial. It is every week, but so much more here due to the water. There's almost 100 bunkers now on course. I'm seeing 93 last time I checked. Fairways are kind of average, but there you got overseeded greens. You got very, very thick rough at times, like 3 to 3.5 inches, depending on where they want to put it. And if it gets up to that 3.5 mark, that's going to be very difficult to get to these greens and hold things. They're going to be quick. Like basically the way Bay Hill played last week, think Bay Hill with more lock in play for the most part. And more like, I guess, dog legginess, but just like last week, I know it's not a word, but like at Bay Hill last week, you had to be in the fairways. Otherwise, you saw guys just like praying to get it out of the 3-inch rough to make it doable. They're praying for pars. Bogey avoidance will be huge here. Scrambling will be huge here. Got to crush the par fives because they are gettable par five, about a 30 to 35% birdie rate on most of the par fives. So take advantage of that. But fairways. And a massively important approach game. Plus, you can use some Pete Dye history if you want, because there's a handful of guys that you'd be like, huh? And they show up with this course time and time again. So what are some of the things you're looking for this week?
Yeah, it's a lot of, like you said, accuracy off the tee, especially. And then you got to hit your greens. If not, you're you know, need to be able to scramble really well. Is one of the things about all Pete Dye greens are they're difficult. And if you watch this golf course a lot, you know how difficult some of the greens and the approach shots can be. So, got to be accurate for sure, more so than distance. And then, you know, par five scoring matters this week. Plenty of course history, and watch the weather, because in the years past, I don't know exactly how it's going to be down there. But in years past, we've had some wild, wild weather, which has just thrown an absolute wrench into things, and it becomes a complete crapshoot. So it can be that way on this type of golf course anyways, with so much water in play. But the weather, especially this time of year in Florida, can get really windy. So.
Yeah, you mentioned the greens. You have Pete Dye. I should have mentioned that. A lot of the greens are multi-tiered, so that'll make you kind of have to hit spots for sure on the greens. Yeah, the weather's fun, because a couple years back, we all thought it'd be like a AM-PM wave, and then the rain stopped the round. So all of a sudden, it shifts the whole advantage the other direction. Yeah, because that was the year where they were hitting balls into 17, this pre-LIV, and it was just a spectacle. Just because you just hit it and pray. They shouldn't even have been playing in my mind. At that point, it was literally hit it and pray. Right. I didn't even mention it because I didn't think I need to, but 17 is the Island Green, folks. Like, that's kind of a big deal. So that'll – carnage galore. I think I saw somewhere today, no champion or no one, period. Might be no one, period, as a bogey-free round over the last, like, 10 to 15 years of this golf course. Like, so bogeys will happen. It's just a matter of avoiding the blow-up is what it is. Like, we saw – like Jake Knapp and some guys get double digit Fleetwood, I think, got double digits on the sixth at API last week. You got to avoid that to make it to the weekend. So 144 golfers, T60 and ties. Have some fun with that. All right, let's talk DK, Jesse. And they're back to the 5K scoring this week. We got 2, 4, 6 guys in the 10K and above. Scotty Scheffler at 12.8, Rory McIlroy at 11.6, Xander 11.3, JT 10.6. Cantley 10-3, Hovland 10-1. Who do you like up here not named Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Scotty is very much in play. I am glad that they have done this pricing where they do have the guys in 5K. So then they bump up Scotty to 12-8, which makes plenty of sense to me. Defending champion coming off a win. I'm going to probably try to jam him in. Xander at 11-3. 19th here last year, but three missed cuts before that, and then a second place finish in 2018. There is a lot of variance around this place. So course history obviously matters from the perspective of like having played, but there's a lot of guys who are really good golfers who have missed a lot of cuts here because of just various reasons. But I like Xander, and then definitely like JT. He has not missed a cut here since 2017. And obviously has won coming off a 12th place finish. Missed a cut to Genesis, but 12th at Phoenix and 6th at AT&T. So I most definitely think he is playable at 10-6. However, it's going to be more difficult to play any of these guys because of, you know, if you try to jam in Scotty, it's really difficult, I think, probably to put two. If you just go Scotty, JT, you're at 66.50 per player left. Ooh. And you have to fill four spots. So
buckle up. Good luck. Buckle up on that. Yeah, yep. I love Scotty. The one thing, if you want to play devil's advocate here, is obviously at this price, he has to win, and no one's ever gone back-to-back at the Players. So, because that's just the variance you mentioned, the craziness. Now, I think we can all agree, and the creating Tiger never did it, which is weird. Yep. But to
Tiger only won here twice.
That's how hard this course is, basically. Like, the variance of this course shows you it just takes one water ball to basically screw up your day, and it can get dicey.
If you remember, he won the API 8 times.
Yes, that's right. And then he comes to the Sawgrass. Right. Well, and Sawgrass used to be in May, too, when it played firmer and faster than now. It's moved to March, I think, like in 17 or 18, something like that.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, so it's been a little more forgiving because of the wetter weather over the wintertime, but still, you're still seeing the same craziness involved. Guys might just be getting more aggressive with it is what it comes down to. But back to the point, Scotty is trying to do something no one else has ever done. If someone can do it, yeah, probably Scotty, but we'll see. I have no problem playing him. I agree with what you say. He's first in my model for a reason. He's first in greens and regs, second in par fours, bogey avoidance ninth, tee to green first, second in approach. Everything you expect with Scotty Scheffler is great. Now, for me, the other guy in this range, I like JT, like you said, at 10-6. You know, he had the miscut a few weeks ago, and then he comes back and just looks outstanding with the 12th at the API. Kind of struggled a little bit on the weekend, but the 12th is still good after miscut at Genesis and that elevated event. But 12th at Phoenix, 6th at Pebble. JT's course history, like you mentioned, he's only one of like five or six golfers to make five straight cuts here, which is outstanding. So I like JT a lot. We talk approach game when locked in. JT is that dude. Like his last 24 rounds, you won't see it as much because it's been so wavy. But if you were to narrow it down, probably just he's one of the more dialed in guys there. And then I got Vic Hovland at 10-1. He's ninth in my model. He's first in the par fours, 450 to 500. Most of them will sit in that range. When you look at recent form, it's kind of up and down with Victor. You know, 36 at the API, 19th at Genesis, 58th at Pebble. Doesn't scream 10-1. But when you look at past event history, third and ninth the last 2 years here after missing the cut his first year. So he gets dialed in here. He's obviously a guy where he can find fairways pretty well when on, and the approach game can be outstanding. And at anything bogey avoidance, like he won at Jack's Place, Mirrorfield, another very challenging golf course where off the tee is very, very important. Not as much water, obviously, as players. Similar skill set in my mind, though, the way that course lays out. So I do like Vic Hovland quite a bit if you want to pivot off of JT and Scottie Scheffler. 9K range. You got Willie Z's up to 99, finally getting some respect here. Matsuyama at 98, Wyndham 97, Max 96, Jordan Spieth 95, Morikawa 94, Ludwig at 93, Burns 92, Lowry 91, Cam Young 9,000. One thing I'll say before I hand it off to you, Jesse, I do like how they have more 10K guys. They did the 5K thing, but it seems like the 9K is like double in size, which is very nice to see because it used to be so we just go, I'll play all night, but this is nice. So who do you like in this range?
Yeah, start with the Will Zalatoris. Obviously, you know, he's three out of three made cuts here. So last year, 73rd, then 26th, 21st. Coming off a fourth place finish at the API and second at the Genesis. The dude's playing really well. Hideki, when you think like ball striking, you got to think Hideki, and he's playing very, very well. Won a couple weeks ago at Genesis, finished 12th last week. 2020, he was leading after the first round. They canceled it and then finished fifth last year. Now he does have a miscut sandwiched in between, but he also has another eighth place finish, another seventh place finish. So he's had some success around here, and I like Hideki quite a bit, $9,800. Sam Burns at 92, two straight make cuts for him at this event, and 30th last week, but before that had four straight top tens. So I like Sam Burns. And then Shane Lowry, three straight make cuts for him at this event. Third place last week, fourth at the Cognizant 2 weeks ago. And if it's going to be windy, Shane is very much in play this week.
Yep, I completely agree. Most of them, if not all of them. Willie's, I'll keep going to the pavement with. I've been pretty much, I had Willie in all five last week, three or five the week before. I love the way he's playing right now. You mentioned the event history. He's a fun one. If you do, you can do Victor, Willie Z, you can do JT, Willie Z. It's still okay. That I started a fun way to go. And then I love your Hideki call because I think most will go to like a Willie Z or someone right below here. And Hideki might get overshadowed, like you said, but he's seventh in my model. What he does really well that I think like most people talk about approach, because approach game was all over but when of late, but when dialed in like he was when he won recently, one of the best approach game players in golf. He's also first and around the green over the last 24 rounds, seventh in par five scoring and third in the par four scoring. So he finds ways to get it done or at least scramble to avoid bogeys, which is tremendous at this place, probably white as well here. So I think Hideki could be one of the lower owned guys in this range. Could be wrong. We'll see. Wyndham, you just can't ignore the way he's playing right now at these type of events, at least in my mind. And, you know, he finished 27th here last year after three straight missed cuts. So you can give him a peek. Homa at 96. You mentioned it earlier. Good week last week for Max after we sat on the show saying we need to see some improvements. Well, a nice eighth place finish at the API after a 16th at Genesis. And then you mentioned Max's course history here is pretty solid. So I got no problem taking a peek back at Max again at 9,600. Ludwig, it's tough. Like, it was bad last week. The approach was horrible, but skills are there. Love Sam Burns, like you said. He's 15th in my model. Lowry's eighth in my model, so I like both of them. I think Lowry hopefully comes under owned too. And then lastly, I mentioned Cam Young also, $9,000. He's a guy I never get right, it feels like. But if you look like past history here, 51st last year, missed cut the year before, so that's kind of rough. But he's starting to play good golf. 36th at API, 4th at Cognizant, 16th at Genesis, 8th at the Phoenix. I don't know. I'm not all in on Cam Young, but I want to throw him out there. He's play, his form is good. Course history, maybe a little suspect, but again, like you've mentioned and many others will, so much variance here. Like, you can take course history. Like, if guys are making cuts, that's great. Occasional miscuts is going to happen here too. So that's just the reality of the situation. So I think he's another one to keep an eye on. But fun 9K range, you can definitely do some pivoting if you need to. 8K range, you got JD at 89, Fleetwood at 88, Thigala at 87, Henley at 88, Finau at 85, Sungjae 84, Connors 83, Fitz 82, Tom Kim and Benny on at 81, and then Minwoo Lee, type of price increase, and Siwoo Kim up to $8,000. Who you liking here?
Start with Jason Day. They're at the top. 19th miscut, 35th, 8th, 5th, 60th since 2017 at this event. And, you know, he played last week, finished 36, but before that had two straight top 10s, 9th and 6th. So he is definitely playable. Russell Henley, I like quite a bit, $8,600. He just putts better on these
Bermuda.
Thank you. My mind blank there for a second. I mean, the course history is what it is. 19th, 13th, miscut, 35th since 2017. So it's weird, but when he makes the cut, generally speaking, you know, he's finishing pretty well. Fourth place last week. So that was without hitting a lot of greens and the driver not being great. That was a lot of his putter just being really hot and scrambling his ass off. So I like that to continue. That's a good confidence builder. Sungjae at 8,400. I was kind of going back and forth between him and Tony Finau, and I think it's kind of flip a coin, but I'm going to go with Sungjae instead just because of the course history. Three straight made cuts for him here. Finished 6th last year, and it's coming off 18th place finish after the miscut at the Cognizant at last week at the Arnold Palmer, finished 18th. So I think going to him, Corey Connors, we just talk about his ball striking every time he plays. Prototypical, you know, guy you think would be successful at this golf course. Miscut last year, three straight made cuts before that, including a 7th place finish, and has just a bunch of made cuts, especially on the year on tour, finished 18th last week. And then both the guys at 8K, in my opinion, are in play. Siwoo, past champion, has had some kind of quietly sneaky solid starts this year. Hasn't missed a couple of year, a couple of top 15s, finished 30th last week. And Minwoo, I mean, 8,000, you know, last week he was chalk of the chalk. He finished 6th here last year. And so I like going back to him this week and probably at less ownership, especially since there should be a whole lot less ownership since his price has come up $1,400.
Yep. No, I'd say it's a loaded range here. I'll hit on a few. Fleetwood at 88 does have my attention. The form coming in is typical Fleetwood. Miscut at the API, 10th at the Genesis, 35th at Pebble. Always kind of all over the place, but we're talking about guys making cuts here. He's made 4 of his last 5. Nothing worse than 27th, 22nd, miscut 5th, 7th. So Fleetwood, he's another approach type guy. Thigala, $8,700, nice week and last week. Was kind of threatening some good numbers for a while. Finished 6th, which is like he looked like he was going to, you know, try to challenge for, you know, top 3 at one point. Finished 6th, 37th at Genesis, 5th at Phoenix. Love Thigala's iron play, obviously, and that's what we're looking for this week. Even though he's 70th or less 24 rounds in approach, when he's locked in like he's been, that's very strong, and his putter is one of his strongest assets. So if he can just get on the green and have some fun, I'm all about that. Henley at 86, I'm with you, and there's much more to add to that. Finau's 10th in my model, Sungjae's 114. And I'm kind of leaning Sungjae with you just because I said it last week, and it felt like he was close at times last week. It's just a matter of like when it clicks, because it's going to. Still finished 18th last week, which I think is pretty strong compared to the miscut, 44th, 66th, 66th. So he's kind of moving in the right direction. 6th, 55th, 17th here the last 3 years. You know, Finau went to Mexico and took the week off. Do I, you know, take that against him or not? I lean Sungjae as well, but man, if you follow the models, you're going to tell me I'm an idiot. So it's fine. I get called an idiot a lot, but both are there. Connors is 5th in my model. It's going to be very difficult to not play Corey Connors this week. He's 4th in this field in approach, 5th tee to green, 2nd in greens and regs over the last 24 rounds, 17th in fairways gain, just doing all the things. Just can he putt? And you mentioned his success here. Benny On's another guy I'm going to look at. Really, really improving of late. Finished 8th last week, 21st, 16th in his last 3 rounds. pretty strong stuff there from Benyon. He's made three of his last four cuts here, 35th, missed cut, 26th, 30th. So don't mind me some Benyon as he feels like he's getting close to clicking as well. And then I like the Minwoo and the Siwoo thing, like you mentioned. Siwoo's 13th in the model, kind of backing up what you're saying about he's quietly playing really good golf. Like all of his stats are pretty good except putting, which no surprise with Siwoo Kim. And then Minwoo, he's going to be a GBP guy like every week. He would never shock me if he wins an event. He'll never shock me when he doesn't make the cut. That's Minwoo Lee in a nutshell. I want to mention one thing. If I was a good host, I would have done at the beginning of this. But this is a Pete Dye track, and since there are so many Pete Dye tracks, Siwoo reminded me of this. You can talk Pete Dye specialist, kind of. It's a filter you can look at. And over the last 24 rounds on Pete Dye courses, here's your top 20 golfers in this field. Scheffler, Schauffele, Cantlay, not playing either of those two, but Scheffler, yes. They got Sungjae's fourth in this field, Keegan's fifth, Brian Harman's sixth, Henley's seventh, who you liked, Burns is eighth, Connors is ninth, JT is 10th. So that's a solid top 10. I guess I'll stop there. I won't read them all, but it's a good top 10 if you want to remind each other that Pete Dye does Pete Dye things. 7K range here. All this names: Harman, Bradley, English, Hoagie, Poston, Cole, Adam Scott, Kirk, Hadwin, Mitchell, Cibes, Griot, Fowler, EVR, Noren, Jaeger, Hogard, Knapp, Davis, and Rose. Who do you like in this range?
Start at the top with Keegan, $7,900. So miscut last year, but 5th, 29th, 16th, 7th, 60th in his previous start since 2017 before that. And it's going off 36th place finish last week at API, missed cut to Genesis, but 11th, 43rd, 2nd this year. So solid starts for him. I think he is most definitely playable. Hoagie, I mean, your boy, just churning out top 25s. The one that he didn't was the first that you said to bet him top 20. He did top 20 last week, cashed that bet, finished 12th. And then the course history, 4 straight made cuts, 3rd last year. Is he going to be 1,000% owned? I guess it's the only question.
He should be.
I got him like at 20% projected.
I don't have any ownerships yet. It's too early. I can't even play technical difficulties yet. It's too early.
So then we're heading down to the EVR range here, 7,300. 13th here last year, or 2 years ago in 2022, was 13th. 25th, 2nd, 8th in his last 3 starts. The question from Steven, I think he can make a run in the top 10. I checked the odds, and both FanDuel and DraftKings have 10-1 odds on a top 10. So not terrible odds in my opinion. I do like the price quite a bit on DraftKings, so he's very playable for me at 7,300. Then Jake Knapp at 7,100. Obviously, he's never played here, but, the ball striking has been great of late. He did not drive it very well last week. He did not hit very many greens in regulation, but he still made the cut. Obviously, limited cut, finished 77th. Didn't have a great weekend. But before that, he was 4th and 1st in his 2 starts before that. 3rd at the Farmers, if you go back over a month ago. So I'm just going to kind of disregard last week's event and look more at the broad trend for Jake over the last – month and a half, 2 months. I like him at 7,100. And then Cam Davis at 7,000. 6th place here last year, 2 straight missed cuts before that. He's made 3 in a row on tour, 18th last week. I like him a lot at $7,000. I think he has the upside to finish very well this week inside the top 20.
All right, we got some similar stuff here. First, we'll start with Brian Harman. The form is like 80th, and my model kind of turns things off, but he was looking strong at one point last week. Where did he finish here? At 70. Finished 12th. Yeah, he was doing good. He's made at least 4 straight cuts all the way back to the pedal. Nothing great. This is his best finish in quite some time. Mentioned the Pete Dye love that he has for this place. And you look at recent history here, he's made 4 straight cuts, 44th, 63rd, 3rd, and 8th. So I'll go back to Harman at $7,900. You mentioned Keegs outside of last year's missed cut. Has been great here. Loves Pete Dye courses. I'll go right back to Keegs. Over the last 5 years here, he's gained over 30 strokes gained total at this event. That's pretty strong. Like, just for fun, now that I saw that number, He is second in this field over the last 5 years to Tommy Fleetwood in strokes gained total. It goes Fleetwood, Bradley, JT are your top three guys. So if you care about anything like that, Keegan does pretty darn good at this golf course. You mentioned Hoagie, though. Yes, going right back to the Hoagie. Well, he's gained 22 strokes here. He's been pretty good. You mentioned the five straight made cuts here. Third last year, coming in great form, like you mentioned. He was outstanding last week. Like the funny, the 1 week I tell you to top 20 him, he doesn't. He's been freaking amazing ever since then. So hopefully people have been going back to that well.
We bet him last week because you said to hop back on the train.
I'd hop back on him this week too. Yep. The odds are probably not as good as they've been, but just keep riding that one out more often than not. Especially approach courses. That's why we love Hoagie here, and that's why he's done well here. One of the best iron players out here. Fourth in the model. Over the last 24 rounds, he is first in this field in strokes and approach, beating out Scottie Scheffler. So just take that one as you wish. So, yes, Tom Hoagie. Adam Hadwin at $7,500, another guy that plays Pete Dye pretty well. His past history here, he's made 4 out of 5 cuts, 13th and 9th the last 2 years. So I'm gonna kind of hang my hat on that one. And you look at 52nd last week. He's playing better early in the week. 4th at the Genesis the last 2 events he's played are elevated events, and he's played okay, at least when one of them played really well. Killer Keith, he's played well here. Loves Bermuda. It used to be, Bermuda Keith at one point. Now it's Killer Keith. But didn't play last week at the API. That was unfortunate. Got bummed at the last minute. But 9th at the Cognizant, 19th in Mexico. So coming in some pretty good form there for Keith Mitchell. He's made 4 out of 5 cuts, 35th and 13th the last 2 years. So I jump back on the Killer Keith wagon. Emiliano Grillo is the one that I'm liking. I liked him a lot last week because he's starting to come together. The putting, he's... This one will trip you out. He has changed. I believe he's got more of the broom putter now. But over the last 24 rounds, Griot's 3rd in this field in putting. 3rd.
Yeah, that's surprising, man.
Yeah, that's shocked me. I knew it was better, but his around the green's atrocious, but everything else is good. 16th in fairways gained. 27th in approach is not bad for $7,400. He's played well here. It's hard to see that putting continue, but maybe it's the new putter and things are clicking. So Griot at 74, Love EVR at 73. If you want a super low owner play, Alexander Norin. He's 6th in my model. He's 2nd in bogey avoidance in this field, 11th in greens and regs, like 28th in fairways. It's the typical nothing too flashy, but pretty steady. At this event, though, it's miscut 26, miscut, miscut 17th. So when he makes the cut, pretty good finish at this price point. And he's coming in here a 9th at the Cognizant, 53rd at Phoenix, 26th at Pebble. So Norin would be the guy I'd look at here. There's always Jaeger bombs if you want. I just don't think he's got enough. Like I'd take the other guys for higher DK finishes potentially. And then last but not least, Cam Davis. I'm with you as well. Love Cam Davis. Love, love, love Cam Davis, especially on a track like this. And I believe, he's 11th. On Pete Dye courses over the last 24 rounds. Didn't go deep enough. I remember he's close. He's 11th if you like Cam Davis. All right. Not reading anymore, Jesse. So 6K range. What are you liking?
Doug Gim at 68. 2 out of 3 made cuts for him at this event. 6th and 29th in 2022, 2021. Missed the cut last year. Coming off a 16th place finish. His last time out at the Cognizant, 8th place. Phoenix, 12th, 13th. So he has not finished outside the top 16 in his last 4 starts. Aaron Rye at 6,400 finished 19th here last year. 2 straight top 25s for him on tour. So I like him. Ryan Fox at 6,200. 27th here last year in his lone start. Coming off a 35th place finish his last start, which is the Cognizant. Svensson at 61, 13th here last year, 2 straight missed cuts for him on tour. Davis Thompson at 61, made the cut here last year, finished 68th. But this year, the form coming in is pretty good. 47th, 24th, 15th missed cut, 21st, 57th this year. So he's missed one cut, playing some of the bigger events. This is obviously the biggest one he's played in all year. Other than that was the Farmers. They did miss the cut there. But Phoenix, he made the cut, His one start in Florida, finished 47th. So $6,100. You can try him out.
All righty. For me, I look at Denny McCarthy, $6,900. Par 5 scoring has been rough of late. But if you want to look at tournament history for good old Denny, he's made 4 straight cuts, including a 13th last year. Coming in with a 48th, the API, missed cut at the Cognizant, and 3 straight made cuts prior to that. So Don't mind Denny at 69. Nick Taylor at 69. 38th in my model. He's 12th on approach. His putter's very strong. He's sixth in the par four scoring. I'm looking at, you know, okay in other factors. When you go deeper, missed cut here last year, but then three straight made cuts prior to that from 18 to 21. And he's coming in with a 12th at the API, 39th at Genesis, won the Phoenix, 71st at Pebble. I think Nick Taylor at 69 is very live down here. If it's going to be windy, keep an eye on Bo Hosser. I know it's lazy, but that's he plays great in the wind. Otherwise, he's kind of meh with everybody else. I do like Doug Gim, like you mentioned, especially history here, but good approach game guy. Aaron Rye is one of the best approach game players in this field. He's 16th in my model. He's played well here. He's best fairways. He's second in the field in fairways gained. The other guy I'll mention is Brendan Todd at $6,500. We talk about his iron play a ton. 27th miscut, 35th here. Those are all 27th and 35th for $6,500. I'd take that right now if you put that down for me. And he's coming up with a 6th last week at the API. He missed the cut at the Cognizant, but then three straight made cuts prior to that. So Brendan Todd is another one I'd look at in this range. And then my last 6K guy is Taylor Pendrith, who weirdly does well at courses. Like, similar to Cam Davis, Pendrith can bomb it, but sometimes when he tones it back, like, he's 4th in bogey avoidance in this field. He's 23rd in my model in general. He's 8th in par 5 scoring, but he just does a little bit of everything. His fairway gains are rough, but that could be with the driver, like the old Cam Davis discussion we've had. Coming in rough form, though. Missed the cut at the Cognizant, missed the cut at the Mexican Open, if that matters to you. But his last two events here, 69th and 13th. Those are the only two times he's played here. So Pendrith at 6K is another guy I wouldn't mind taking a peek at.
We got a question again from Steven. Did you see that?
All right. Higher projected finish this week, Alexander Norgren or Evie? Ooh. I'm going to ride the EVR train, but Norgren, I will be lower owned than EVR if you want to play that angle.
Yeah, I'm similar. I was looking at Norgren's, you know, I mean, this year, this calendar year for him has been pretty good. So yeah. It's kind of a coin flip there. I mean,
he's 66th in my model. He stands out compared to everybody else. Now, I'm not saying my model is the freaking saving grace, but
yeah, but I would also choose EVR if gun to my head.
Yeah, I just like that current form with EVR. Again, Norgren's had good form too, but EVR's looks pretty deadly right now.
He's had the higher finishes. I mean, I think he's got the more upside to actually sneak inside the top 10 if either 100%. One of them can.
100%. What do you got in the 5K range?
Yeah, Mark Hubbard, 5,800, you know, 35th here last year, has had a solid year as well, a bunch of made cuts for him, so I think he's playable. Sam Ryder is very, very up and down, but he's made the cut back-to-back times at this event after missing the cut two straight times, and is coming off a 21st place finish last time out, the Cognizant. And then last but not least, I mean, this is a really rough range in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, Dylan Wu, down at 5,100, 35th here last year, coming off a miscut, but 24th for that miscut, 50th miscut, 42nd miscut, 30th. I mean, he's very, very up and down, but he did play well here last year. So just course history there, $5,100. If you're down here, that's who I would pick.
Yeah. To kind of echo what Jesse said, is this a rough range? Like, can you make arguments for a bunch of dudes? Yes. Will there be a bunch of guys that surprise people down here? Probably a few, at least. Like, there will be dudes, but the guys I'm looking at, Mark Hubbard at 58, 64th in my model, 11th in par five scoring. Mentioned the whole Pete Dye thing. He's 20th in this field in Pete Dye, which at $5,500, 20th is actually pretty sweet in my mind. You mentioned course history down here with Hubba Hubbard, 35th last year, missed cut, and coming in pretty decent form. So don't mind that. And then I have Chesson Hadley at 57. He's 29th in my model. He's first in this field in bogey avoidance, 19th in the par four scoring. You know, everything else is okay, nothing crazy. He's worst at fairways gain if you want to go that direction. Coming in with his form with a 35th at Cognizant, 24th in Mexico. So decent finishes there. And at this course, 44th, 63rd the last 2 years. Missed the cut in 2019, 11th in 2018. So those would be the guys I'm looking at for now. Like, you can make arguments for a handful of others, but I want to just keep throwing names out there to try to convince you when I probably try to stay out of this range altogether. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, not name Scotty Scheffler.
That's bullshit.
Well, I said 10K to 12K range. Who do you like?
I'll say JT then.
It is fair that Scotty's like in his range of his own, in theory. Right. It's just like in his own world. For me, you took JT, who's I'll say Victor to be different, but those would be the two guys. 9K range. You can go two guys if you want, since it's a lot of guys.
Yeah, Will Zalatoris and Shane Lowry.
All right, that's good. I'll go to Decky at 98, and let's go with I'm going to go Torres also. I'm not going to try to be cute. 8K range, go to
Henley and Minwoo Lee.
I like that. I'll go Connors at 83, and give me Sahith at 87. 7K, you can go to if you want as well.
Hoagie and Cam Davis.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny Hoagie anything on this one. That'll be a guy I'll go to deathbed. Like, if he misses the cut, folks, you just know my weekend probably went. Because I'm not going to have him in all five, but probably four out of the five. And then I'll go Brian Harmon at 79. 6K range, I'm only going to probably put one, but you can go two if you want.
I'm going to go with one, Gim.
Gim's good. I'm going to go with Nick Taylor at 69. And then I only picked two guys in 58, so I had Hubbard and Todd. Who do you like down there?
Yeah, Hubbard is the guy.
Yeah, Hubbard's the dude if you're playing anybody. It's kind of the brass of it all. You can play cash this week. I still don't condone it with so much variance out here. I think you're playing, might as well buy a lotto ticket at that point. That's just me. So let's have some fun and talk some GPPs here, Jesse. How would you start out your GPP lineup for your first one, let's say?
Yeah, Scotty, Hoag at 78. So that looks 7,300. Yeah, I mean, it starts getting a little bit sketch, but then I would go down and get Doug Gim and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Just to be different off the Scotty wagon, give me Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, and Tom Hoagie. Let's see where that one goes. All right, let's talk some bets for the week. Is with the variance here, most winners here, without guys repeating, I think I was seeing it was like 35 to 40 and beyond more often than not. So that's just the variance of the golf course, Jesse. So who are you liking this week?
Yeah, I bet Will Zalatoris at 30.
Love that.
Yeah, on FanDuel already. And then I do like Hideki at 30. It's 30 on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Hoag is at 60, so I like that quite a bit. And then, you know, the usual top 20 bet plus 240 on him. Those are like the three main ones that, you know, just looking over the odds kind of roughly that I liked. Yeah, anything else for you?
I'll just give a couple top 20s. I always try to go plus 200 or better. So give me Harmon at 210. Hoagie at 240, Benny on at 260, Sungjae at 300 is ridiculous. I know he's playing rough golf, but come on. We mentioned Keegan's history, he's 320 here. I don't want to name off everybody, but that's five top 20 guys that I like a lot. So if even like two of those guys hit, you're sitting pretty. If you're only going to bet one, bet Tom Hoagie. All right, final thoughts for the week, Jesse, as we have an unofficial major technically going in play this week.
No, it's fun. It's a fun week. It is just – it's high variance, and, you know, the live betting markets will be probably good to hit. Definitely keep an eye on the weather, 1,000%. And you better have two TVs set up with all the college basketball and then this going on as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend for everybody, that's for sure. Yeah, this is one of those on the West Coast, even last week, and the whole Florida swing now. I wake up, and I just, like, just look at my – I open the app, and I'm like, please, please, please. Okay, we're still, like, even par or better. That's all I care about because API, we saw the carnage there. I avoided most of it, thank God. It's tough to avoid here. You're going to have at least a couple guys that just completely fall off the reservation. You just hope it's not your best lineup. That's all you hope because this is a week it's tough to do single entry if you just – that's what you people do. That's all I'm going to say. It's very tough to do. But – you can. And until next week, we'll be back with you guys to recap this week and more and live so you can dedicate your full attention to the players. I just do this stuff to be sarcastic. I got hate on Twitter for that, but it's all sarcasm, folks. You can find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the pod at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intric. Until next time, your 2024 The Players Preview. Catch y'all later. Show goes on all night, till the morning we dream. So long, anybody else?